What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Atlanta Braves super fan Dan Holloway. How are you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I'm kind of concerned about the the scheduler for Major League Baseball, because the way this past week worked out was very bizarre to me.
The Braves really, yeah. So I wanted to touch on this for sure, just like a little bit before we got into the two things I wanted to talk about today. But yeah, that first game of the A's series, that was fucked.
Yeah, it's weird. So you go late game East Coast and then early game West Coast. How does that work?
Right.
I don't know that I've ever seen something
before. That was brutal. Scheduling. Yeah. So essentially, if you don't recall, the Braves played the Sunday night baseball game against the Phillies. Then they immediately had to get on a plane and fly from Atlanta to Oakland. And by the way, before we even get into the flight stuff, I assume they fly out of, what is it, Hartfield? That's Atlanta's, right?
Yeah.
How far away is that airport from the Battery? Probably an hour.
In traffic, yeah, unless they took a helicopter down there.
Yeah, so first off, so they're on they're basically traveling like probably 7-8 hours that day. They get into Oakland at 3 a.m. local. So they land in Oakland on what their body thinks feels like is 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a game at
11:30.
No. That game, it was like a 3 o'clock local. It was a day game.
All right, yeah, yeah.
It was a day game, but it was like an afternoon.
For body time, it was like 12:30, I guess.
Yeah. That's fucking insane.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's bad scheduling, to be honest. And you could tell they were feeling it this whole series.
Oh, my God. The offense, I mean, they couldn't. They were terrible. There was a little. The fielding wasn't as good, as sharp. I mean, they had some plays like Rosario, hoping Soroka. We'll talk about that in a minute. And I think Acuña had a good play in the game we salvaged. But yeah, I mean, they just looked terrible, just dead.
Yep.
And that fucking sucks. And honestly, you know what's not going to wake you up is playing in the Oakland Coliseum.
Seriously, they've had bad attendance for a while now, but it's getting worse now that they know the team's leaving.
Yeah.
Like, you would think there would be a run on it where people would go into the stadium and try to watch their last game, or maybe that'll happen later in the season, and you know, steal shit from inside the stadium, because the Raiders are gone. There's nobody left in the Coliseum after the A's leave.
No,
and so I assume they're just going to tear that down. I don't even know, is Oracle Arena still there now?
I assume they didn't tear down Oracle Arena. I assume that they probably have like concerts and shit there.
I mean, it's basically Camping World Stadium now.
Yeah.
After they leave.
Yeah.
So.
Oakland, it's called Oakland Arena now, I guess, but it's still there, right?
Yeah. Nobody's going to sponsor it.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing that fucking happens there. I don't even know who plays there. Do they have a WNBA team or some shit?
No. I mean, so actually it's kind of a funny thing with, what's the one in Kansas City, Sprint Center? How it's, they talk about how it's actually more profitable without a team than with a team, because they can book more shit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I tweeted the other day, by the way, that I'm from St. Louis, St. Louis Rams fan, or used to be, and with that in mind, I don't think I've ever seen a fan base get so brazenly fucked in the ass as the Oakland A's fans.
Yeah.
Like, even more so than the Raiders fans somehow, and they lost their team twice. But this team, it's just like, they tried to be competitive, and the Raiders did, right? Like, they tried to win. Like, I don't care if the A's move. That's fine. Maybe Oakland's not viable, but these dudes who own this team do not deserve to own this team.
No, I understand the move from the city. I would have moved it too a long time ago, actually. But there's something about the ownership too that's just not getting the job done.
The only Band-Aid, the only thing masking their fucking complete uselessness is Billy Beane.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and is he going to move to a new city?
Vegas
is not that far away. So I wonder. I think there should be some rule in professional sports that if your team doesn't perform at a certain level over a long enough period of time, you lose your team.
Oh, yeah.
You're forced to sell it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you need to be a competitive owner. Like, these guys are assholes. Same with the dude who owns the Reds and the dude who owns the Pirates. Like, just absolute fucking douchebags who don't even try to win. They just fuck their fans. Just They're just stealing from their fans. But yeah, that was a rough series. That sucked. That was really. I remember why I was watching the game two of that series, all pissed off. I couldn't believe we couldn't even scrap like one other run together. I was waiting for, you know, Olsen or Acuna or somebody to just like at least get a solo home run. I think we scored 6 runs in this series.
It wasn't much, yeah.
Like, it was bad.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Long season, all that bullshit. We were joking, actually, before, earlier today, I guess, that this is exactly how the Braves' easy stretch started out last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went on the road to the worst team in baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're like, okay, let's start running. We can start really getting, putting more space between us and the other teams. Last year, it was making up ground. And what do? We drop 2 of 3 on the road to the worst team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row at the start of our sort of quote-unquote easy schedule. So that's, I guess, kind of funny or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We're going to Arizona next and then back home for the Mets. And then it's pretty much easy until we see the Phillies. And then it's easy after that for a bit, unless you consider the Twins a threat. I guess it depends on what part of their rotation we run into.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks, for what it's worth, haven't been bad so far this year. I don't think they're good. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Probably not, but we're going to run into Gallen on Sunday, and it's Gallen Soroka on Sunday. That'll be a good matchup.
Yep. And speaking of the biggest news, maybe the Braves' season so far, to be honest, in terms of like on field, is our guy, the promised one, Mike Soroka, finally back. On the mound. This is probably the most excited I've been to watch a regular season Braves game that wasn't like September, like an important one, in years.
Yeah, it's nice to see him back. I mean, it was like, what, almost 1,100 days?
Yeah.
Basically between it's starts.
Brutal. Like, even before getting into me wanting him as a player, like, I felt bad for the guy. Like, he just seems like a nice guy. I don't...
Well, he's Canadian. He's got to be.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know how... I mean, like... I don't know how much personality is there per se. Like, he's pretty stoic, if I want to be generous. But you just feel bad for the kid. But what'd you think? He 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Took the L, unfortunately. But his WHIP for the game was 1.17, which is great. But yeah, what'd you see from Soroka?
Yeah, he had about a 10-pitch stretch where things didn't go well for him. But that's, you know, it takes a while to get the feel for your pitches back at the big league level. It wasn't optimal condition to be pitching in because of the weird flight times and stuff. That is what it is. Who knows if that's going to...
I think that mostly just affected the team's chances to win. More than I think it affected him.
Maybe.
Like it affected the offense, essentially. He seemed okay.
He seemed okay, yeah. But, you know, who knows? His changeup looked really good. I think he hung one and it got hit 1,000 feet. But for the most part, I would say about 85% of his changeups looked really sharp. Location is coming back to him. I think the most important thing right now is just getting in reps because – and that's why they kept him in the minors a little bit longer, so he could get up to a 90-plus pitch outing. Now, he only threw, 83 pitches in this game?
He was really efficient.
Yeah, that's the thing that struck me the most. He's definitely the same guy, that is to say, trying to pitch to contact and get early outs and stuff like that. There were a couple of jams that he got himself out of by making good pitches and getting double plays, and that's kind of what you expect out of the guy. I think it's going to be honest, I don't expect, aside from eating up innings, and, you know, he was only one earned run away from a quality start, aside from eating up innings, 5 to 7 innings per start, which is going to be really helpful for the rest of the rotation throughout the rest of the year, I don't expect greatness out of the guy. I think it's just like a basketball player with an ACL injury that first year back is kind of, you know, getting your legs under you. I think it's going to kind of be like that. Maybe it's better this playoffs, but probably not. I think you should expect kind of a mid season from him moving forward.
I would just be happy with an ERA under 4. And even if the ERA is hovering like low 4s, as long as you got a whip like basically around what that is, right? Like 117. Well, I just want to see that the stuff is there. And to me, you're right. Like, he looked really sharp for a lot of the time. Now, hilariously, of all the outfielders to do it, Eddie Rosario saved him from early trouble.
No kidding. Yeah. That was a really good play, too.
It was. I was stunned, to be quite honest, that Eddie pulled that off. But he's kind of a funny guy like that. But yeah, I thought that Soroka looked sharp. But you're right that he was not, you know, fully back in game mode. And that, I think, really more than anything manifested itself with the two hit-by-pitches, where those balls just, I mean, you know, you see in a lot of hit-by-pitches, like, they miss, right? Mm-hmm. Those two balls on his hit-by-pitches just completely flew out of his hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just like a 50-cent first pitch kind of, like, just off to the fucking side.
Well, if you remember, the last time he pitched in Major League Baseball, everybody was still putting fucking pine tar on their hands. and I think that's going to take some getting used to. We saw Raisel Iglesias two nights ago come in and pretty much walk in the winning run, you know. Mm. He walked the bases loaded, as a matter of fact, and just couldn't get his hearing from the broadcast the following day, yesterday, they said he just couldn't get a fucking grip on the ball at all because of the weather.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem for a guy that's command-based. Spencer Strider can probably get away with it, but a guy that throws 91, 92 is not going to get away with it. And, you know, he's I wouldn't say that Soroka's a nibbler. That's not a good characterization of his pitching style, but he does need to stay on the fucking corners and low in the zone with his sinker to be successful.
Yeah. No, I think he is adequately aggressive in trying to get strikes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason they call him Maple Maddox, because he's Canadian. I mean, obviously he's not Greg Maddox, but the pitching style is very similar in terms of, like, the velocity is lower than your average talented pitcher, mm-hmm. and he just tries to fill the strike zone and get you to, like you said, get out early in the at-bat. And he mostly accomplished that. Like, the two things that were exciting for me is the efficiency on six innings and the whip. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the mistake for the home run, the three-run homer or whatever sucks, but really, and he got out of a jam, a pretty tough jam with a double play, which he's want to do. But what really worried me, or I guess what really fucked up that whole start for him was the second hit by pitch, where he had the guy 0-2 to start the inning, and then completely fucking loses the batter in a way that was kind of like, that really rips your head out of the zone, right? Like, that can really take you out of focus, because it's such a fucking cell phone. Such an infuriating cell phone. You see it in, like, tennis a lot, where, like, a guy just has, like, a brutal error, and then they can't get their head back in it for a while, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that error by Olsen was also a big part of it, to be honest. That was a big play because it extended the inning. But you know what? That's the kind of shit that's going to happen. Overall, I was fine with the way he pitched.
The velocity was great.
Yeah, he looks like everything looks good. The mechanics and all that stuff looks good. I think he needs to get a feel.
Didn't, by the way, he looked bigger.
Stronger, yeah, certainly. But he's grown up a little bit.
He was, I mean, when he was pitching in 2019, he was really
He was 22 young. Years old.
Yeah, he was really
Now
young.
He's 25, so obviously he's put on some man muscle.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But he's not the only Braves pitching call up that happened this past week that's going to be a big deal for us even inside this season. AJ Smith Shaver, however you say his name. It's Shaver, but that's, I've never heard that name before. this kid is, let's see, I think he's 20 years old. Is that right? 21. No, he'll be 21 in November. Jesus Christ. So he started pitching in his senior year of high school. Last year was the first year he took it seriously and pitched for a full season before. Mm-hmm. Now, this kid throws 98. He's got an 88 to 92 mile per hour slider. That's a pretty decent out pitch. He's seen as the organization as the, I think I mentioned him, what, a month ago or 2 months ago?
Yeah.
As somebody to watch out for that's going to get called up soon. I didn't think it would be this year, to be honest. I mean, I thought it might be sometime later in the season he would get a cup of coffee. But the way he's dominated every level in the minor leagues this season, he pitched last year pretty mediocre, 17 starts, 5.11 ERA. And then he comes into this year, he starts at high A ball in Rome. Three starts, doesn't give up a run. Went to Mississippi AA, two starts, didn't give up a run. He went up to AAA, had two starts, gave up, I think, two runs, and they're like, all right, fuck this. It's Andrew Jones, right? We're just going to bring this kid up and let his natural talent develop in the major leagues where it belongs. So they're going to treat him the same way they did Strider last year. He'll start in the pen, probably start off in a couple of low-leverage situations and then pick up. Maybe they'll run out if they have to do a bullpen game. They'll have an opener and then put him in for four or five innings and shit like that and let him run. His development over the course of the season is going to be a big fucking deal for this team, because if he shows out like people say that he might, I think you can kiss Max Fried's ass goodbye.
Well, there's is the big hole in the rotation that is coming, because I don't, you know, I love AA, and you want him to go after Max, and he'll make an offer, I imagine, but you got to think it's going to be kind of a Freddie Freeman situation, except I don't think Max is necessarily he likes being a Brave, he likes the organization, but he's not certainly not married to it the way Freddie was, right? Sort of like emotionally invested, I suppose, the way Freddie was. Like, Max is, you know, he's a professional baseball player, and he's gonna act like a professional athlete does, and, you know, get his fucking value, and I don't blame him if he can get more money elsewhere.
Sure,
go get your money, buddy.
But you gotta wonder what we did all this for, right? Like, why, like, all these great moves and locking these people down to long-term deals and getting good deals on these long-term contracts, what was the point of that? It should be to free up cap space to be able to fucking go into free agency and get key players when you need them, or hang on to key players that might be leaving,
like,
right?
Max Fried. And maybe that's what they're going to do. And to me, Max Fried is a top three or four pitcher in the National League. Like, there are very few people as good as him. And by the way, even though his overall playoff numbers aren't incredible, that dude fucking showed up every time we needed him to, pretty much, in the 2021 playoffs, and in 2020 he pitched quite well most of the time as well. You know, and like, we were at game two where he got smacked around by the Astros, but that really, we both agreed that wasn't really his fault that game. Yeah.
No, that was he got exit velo to death there. But just looking over the future of the team over the next 5 to 7 seasons, where we have all these people locked into long-term contracts. Obviously, Morton's not going to stick around too much longer. He's older. But you're looking at this Smith-Shawver guy turns out to be what you think he is, then you're looking at a rotation of Strider, Elder, who, by the way, has got a 1.94 ERA, I believe, right now. He's everything people said he was last season. He's a great pitcher who needs to get a feel for the big leagues. That's exactly who he is. And he's going to be a great pitcher in baseball for a long time. Strider, Bryce Elder, Mike Soroka, and Smith Shawver, and then, I mean,
Kyle Wright.
Kyle Wright is another guy. It's like, it's an embarrassment of riches, you know. And I think that Max has been so consistent over his career, it'd be a mistake to let him go. Was he 29?
Yeah, something like that. It really would. And he also, with Max Fried, he's 29. He's just like a fucking pro. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not...
He doesn't do dumb shit, yeah.
No, he doesn't. He is not very mistake-prone. He's, as far as I know, a really hard-working guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and intelligent, and sort of in touch with both his athletic side and, like, the intellect of the game. I mean, everything you would fucking want to have a guy like.
Preparation that. And approach are both very good, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just fucking talented. And, by the way, a lefty.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a premium on that.
So, yeah. And no real injury history to speak. I know he's out right now, but, like, nothing serious in the majors. I think he did.
Nothing arm-wise, yeah.
Yeah, I think he did have an issue prior to the majors.
Forearm, I believe, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, I agree. You're totally right. Like, the reason to sign all these guys to team-friendly deals or just get them in early or whatever, I hope it's not just to save the team money for the sake of saving the team money, right?
Like, I couldn't imagine it would be, because they're making this. This is the highest revenue generating period in the Atlanta Braves fucking franchise history. It's not even.
And
close.
That's not on just raw dollars, not adjusted for inflation. This is just revenue compared to what they're spending on the team.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And if you, like, I think you got to. Part of it, maybe. They want to keep some money in the bank for a rainy day, I guess. But what's the point, you know, if you never break the bank and spend the money?
Right.
You know what I mean? That it's what are we really doing here? And, you know, this is a team that the fan base expects playoff runs. They expect championships. So we'll see how it goes.
Do you think it would ever be a sticking point, or is there a number of years you would be uncomfortable giving Max Fried?
A number of years? Not necessarily. I mean, I think...
Because years is probably going to be the sticking point more than dollars. Because the dollar amount was not the sticking point with Freddie Freeman.
Sure. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think it's different for pitchers. I think if you're talking about a hitter, they want to get... But what pitcher do you know that's ever gotten like a 10-year deal?
Like Garrett Cole, I think.
Right.
My guess is there's been one or two others, but yeah.
I think Kevin Brown back in the day signed a long-term deal with somebody.
Yeah.
And didn't Sabathia sign a long-term deal, but then his body fell apart. It's just not a thing to give pitchers. For me, he's 29 this year, turns 30 beginning of next year. I would be okay with a 6 or 7 year deal for him because he stays in shape. He's got a delivery that's going to allow for a long career, I think. He hasn't had any arm trouble.
And again, lefty.
Mm-hmm.
And lefties tend to age pretty well.
And he's a smart guy, yeah. So he'll figure it out over the course of his career if he needs to adjust and stuff like that. I don't think that would be a problem. Yeah, I'd be fine with 7 years on that. 7 years, probably. You're going to have to get him to take some kind of discount, though. He's not he on the open market, he could probably take a 3-year deal for $40 million a year, to be honest.
And then so, what, somebody would give him that. Table?
Again, no, I mean, like 30, 30, I mean, 30. Some team would give him that.
I know, but do you think he would do the Trevor Bauer approach, basically?
Or the Charlie Morton approach that's worked pretty fucking well for him because he makes $20 million every year no matter what.
I mean, whenever you sign one of those contracts, you're on a discount by year three, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's you stop getting what your market value is by like the second or third year, typically.
Yeah, I don't understand why anybody would do... Like, if you do a 20...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's say it's even a 10% discount, but it's amortized over the course of 7 to 10 seasons, like hitters do these days. Yeah, you're right. It's like you're not. It's not just the 10% discount. It's also inflation every single year, which is at minimum 7%. Right.
Yeah.
That's not to talk about or speak on the economics of baseball itself and how the salary caps are adjusted. So, I think it makes more sense for a guy like that to bet on himself and take shorter deals, 3 to 5 year deals, and not plus year deals. Yeah.
Well, and then by the time, let's say he takes a 3 year deal, then he's 33, 34, takes another 3 year deal, and is effective, then he can take another three year deal, making fucking crazy money. And then he can just go, be like Morton, go on 1 year flyers. Or like, was Verlander a 1 year sign for the Mets?
I think so, yeah.
Is he just going 1-1-1 until he feels like quitting?
I mean, even fucking Michael Jordan did that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unheard of. I think LeBron does it too effectively because he's got the opt-out every year in his contract. So it's a smart move, and I think, you know, it works with the economics of the game, and it's also going to allow Max to get his value provided he continues to produce, which I think he will.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, before we keep going, we do have a sponsor. That is MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS to double your first deposit. Up to $1,000. So if you put in $500, they'll give you $500. You put in $1,000, they'll give you a free $1,000 to slap around with your wiener or whatever you want to do with it. I mean, it's digital, so you can't. I mean, you can slap the computer monitor with your wiener if you want, like where it displays the number.
Just be careful.
Yeah, we're fine with it, but be careful. You can go bet on anything. Obviously, we like to bet on baseball. We're recording this on a Thursday, so I don't have Friday's lines yet, but I imagine, let me look at the Friday games real quick and see if there's anything, I like. I'm trying to think of what the series, I don't know what like all the series are, but it'll be the beginning of a new series for everybody. My assumption is that I don't, I don't know that I would take the Braves.
No, I would take the Brewers. They're minus 178 tomorrow. Corbin Burns is pitching. That's a good one.
Oh, against the Reds. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So the lines are up. The lines are up.
Phillies Nationals. You can probably take the Phillies there. That seems legit.
They got Wheeler going.
Yeah.
Although Josiah Gray is actually pitching for the Nationals, and he's really fucking good.
Sure. He's sub 3 ERA, and he's still 4-5, though. So yeah. He's not getting run support. There's some good games tomorrow. Ohtani versus Framber Valdez. That's a good game right there.
Ooh, shit. I don't know if I bet on that, but I will
watch it. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to bet on it. Let's see.
I do like... actually, here's one. Neither pitcher is good, but give me the Marlins over the A's.
Yeah.
It's in Miami, so all that travel bullshit we were just bitching about with the Braves. Mm-hmm. The A's have to travel literally as far as they... This is the farthest they have to travel at any point in the year, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down to Miami. So, yeah, I'll take the Marlins there. And then, I don't know. Really, there's another really good game with the Rangers and Mariners. Castillo's going against Gray. Excellent pitching matchup. Actually, here, take the Rangers. This isn't a great bet necessarily, but the Rangers are home dogs with maybe their best pitcher going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd take that. I'd take the Rangers at home. They're 35-20, getting no respect. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that one. Castillo's been good this year, but... It's at home.
Yeah, Castillo's great. 100%, no doubt. The Rangers, though, I think have the best offense in baseball right now. And the Mariners' offense is dog shit.
It's either the Rangers or the Rays. I know the Rays are leading home runs, but I don't know about total offense.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Either way, the Rangers are loaded. But, yeah, so go to mybookie.com, promo code DRINKINGBROS, double your first deposit, up to $1,000. So... Not a ton of Braves stuff going on right now necessarily, but there is something I want to talk about. We kind of touch on this a little bit in our texts and stuff, but I think I am fully on FOMO for a couple players. There's a new leader in wins above replacement for Fangraphs, and it is our old dear friend, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, no surprise there. I mean, he's especially in over the course of the last month, he's hitting 400 in May. He hit 400 in May.
He is on a goddamn tear. Yeah. He has 2.9 wins above replacement.
Yeah.
Good for... He's slashing 346, 420, 588.
Yeah, his OPS in May was 1184. This might be the hottest stretch of his career.
Yeah, he's on a fucking tear. 170 WRC+. Counting stats, a little whatever. 10 homers. This is his normal line, right? Yeah. Like, he looks better in the rates than he typically does on the counters, on the counting stats. 49 runs, which actually leads Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. 35 RBI, 8 stolen bases. Now, this is actually something interesting. Not the fastest guy, but he could easily end up with 20 because he's an excellent base runner.
Yeah, he's always been a very opportunistic base stealer. So, these days with the, the pitch clock, a guy like that, he's going to steal more.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Now, I hate saying this, though, because I do like Matt Olson, and Matt Olson is not a fucking slouch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Better defensively, I would say, just a little bit. I think Freeman is the most underrated defender at first base in the game.
He's pretty good, but Matt Olson is a legit gold glove guy.
Yeah. Olson, 17 home runs, 44 runs, 42 RBIs. So he kind of does... He does better in the counting stats. Freeman does better in the slash lines. 136 WRC+ for Olson, which is excellent. So that's still great. I only have mild FOMO with Freeman. But like I said, I swear to God, when Freeman left and we signed Olson, I said, I don't think Freeman's going to age. Like, I don't think that just the way he swings, the way that he is as a player, like, he just looks like a guy that's not going to drop off into his mid-30s, late-30s.
Well, we'll see. It's only been 2 years or a year and a half, and he's still 4 years older than Olson. So by the end of these two respective deals, I think we'll still come out ahead.
Yeah.
But right now it is kind of annoying, especially because he's on our biggest competitor in the fucking league. But what are you going
to
do?
That was really like if Freeman had gone just anywhere else.
Even to the Yankees, like an American League team.
Yeah, the Yankees, that wouldn't have bothered me at all.
Although if he went to the Yankees, he would hit like 70 home runs.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Yeah. But, yeah, it's just the Dodgers, and I fucking hate the Dodgers. Now, here's where I get real FOMO. Because this guy is one of my favorite, maybe my favorite short-term Brave of all time. Like, tops Kenny Lofton or Denny Nagel or whatever. Only played for the Braves for a couple months. Obviously, I'm talking about Jorge Soler, our World Series MVP. But people forget. People kind of – his World Series MVP kind of obfuscates the fact that he really was wonderful for the Braves the entire time he was there, like traded to us.
He had 14 home runs in 55 games.
Yeah. He was leading off or hitting second in a lot of those games. I remember there was one game late in the season. We were still trying to catch Philly where he just led off the game with a fucking rocket. It was like Acuna was back, kind of. Yeah. You know what I mean? A home run to dead center. I fucking loved Jorge Soler. Mm-hmm. Loved that guy. And if you remember, it was kind of an issue. He got hurt in the NLDS against the Brewers.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck, that sucks a lot. I don't know how that's going to affect the series. And then obviously he had a wonderful World Series, won the MVP. I still watch that home run on fucking repeat. His home run to lead off the World Series, also underrated, to lead off literally the entire World Series, first at bat of the World Series, fucking puts it in the Crawford boxes. That was dope as well. I really wanted to keep Soler. I remember my brother Patrick, who is also a Braves fan, texted me, I think it was after Rosario. It might have been during the World Series, but I think it was maybe when Rosario was going nuts in the LDS. He just texted me, bring everyone back. And he was referring to the trade guys, right?
Peterson, yeah, I mean, because the people that we brought over, even Rosario, despite the fact that he struggled for a while and had medical issues with his eyes and whatnot, ball players, like legit ball players, and also good clubhouse guys.
On all of them.
Like Jock is a great clubhouse guy. Jorge Soler is a great clubhouse guy. And it's sickening. Like, Jock, I understand them letting him go because that guy, I don't know if it's because he started in L.A., but he's going to be overpaid for his entire career.
Right.
But Jorge Soler is on a 3-year $36 million deal. We couldn't sign that? Really?
Right.
We couldn't afford that because what the fuck is Eddie Rosario making?
You know what I mean? He's like making a lot.
Jorge Soler, if you combined Ozuna and Eddie Rosario, is outperforming both of them and playing satisfactory defense in left field.
So Rosario's on a 2-year, $18 million contract with us.
So that's $9 million right there. What's Ozuna making? $13 million a year or $16 million a year, I think? 16, right?
Ozuna's, yeah.
I think it's 16 a year. So that's $25 million right there a year.
Ozuna's on a 4-year, $65 million contract.
4, 65, 15, so 16, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's $25 million a year for those two players, and Jorge Soler for $12 million a year is outperforming them combined.
That was
a big mistake.
And I feel like, so Jorge Soler's numbers right now, 17 fucking home runs, only 31 runs and 35 RBIs, but to be fair, he plays on a shitty team.
Mm-hmm.
137 WRC plus, 883 OPS. Rosario is a fucking corpse. Ozuna had a good month of May, but I just don't trust it. And I swear to God, when you keep in mind Soler's, like, 2019 year with the Royals or whatever it was, where he hit 40-plus, 46 home runs, something like that.
48, yeah.
But then you just watched him last year. Didn't he look like, overall, over the course of all of it, the best fucking player we picked up?
Yeah.
That one hurts. That one, I mean, that felt clear as day to me that if you kept just one, it would have been Soler. If you kept two, it would have been Soler Peterson.
Sure, yeah. But I understand why they didn't keep Peterson, because he signed like $19 million deal with the Giants and then stayed on this year for another $19 million, something like that, for their qualifying offer. So
yeah.
I get it. He's not worth that. So I get that.
No, he's hurt right now, but he's had a good season so far. I think 5 homers in 26 games, 128 WRC plus. He's more a guy I want for October than I necessarily need to be like amazing over the course of the regular season.
Well, maybe he'll come back and we can trade for him.
Please God. But yeah, god damn, dude. I just seeing those two guys, or so, but Soler in particular, who I just really love. It sucks. That's giving me the biggest FOMO, because that I just remember looking at him all the time, being like, what a steal. Holy shit. This guy's the best pick. Like, that to me was the best pickup. Or, like, I was excited for a couple of the pickups. I think Peterson was the first one. But Soler is when I really perked up and was like, oh, fuck. All right, we're going for it. Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder if they're going to do something this year. I mean, I feel like continuing to rely on Rosario and Ozuna is going to cost us at some point. It certainly did last year.
Rosario's not viable. I suppose you can see if this Ozuna shit sticks. Not that I am necessarily a fan of that, just because he is a fucking moron.
Yeah, I would rather have Kevin Pillar in that spot.
Pillar, by the way, not fucking bad.
No, he's pretty good.
He's got a couple home runs. He's had a nice year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering what we, you know, thought we'd get out of him.
Yeah. He's got 6 home runs and 85 at bats. It's not bad.
Yeah, no shit. So, I mean, I'm trying to see how Rosario did in May here. Not well. Like, Rosario hasn't been hitting well at all in any month.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a 78 WRC plus. He was 71. Yeah, he was worse in May than he was in March, April. Like, he's not fucking doing it. At this point, yeah, just trot out Hilliard and Pillar out there. I don't know what the fuck they're trying to get out of Rosario.
I don't either. Yeah.
He doesn't even cost that much, by the way. So it's not like putting him on the bench.
Yeah. I really thought for a while there they were going to start using Hilliard more, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I don't know what the personnel decision with that is. And so I guess all that is to say we love to, you know, fillet Anthopoulos. And not wrongly so. We would not have won that World Series without him being, you know, having the fucking balls to go out and trade for all these guys we're talking about right now, and you know, all the long-term deals and stuff like that. And absolutely legit deserves to be described as the best or one of the three best GMs in baseball.
Yeah.
Even still, some really glaring shit on there.
Yeah, and it's almost entirely surrounding the left field position.
It's cursed.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's been one of the outfield positions forever in Atlanta, because we had Ron Gant and David Justice, and then Gant left. Then we had Andrew Jones in center, and who in left?
Klesko. Yeah.
Right? But that was only for like a year. Then Justice left, and then I think right field was Jermaine Dye after that.
For like a minute, then it was Michael Tucker.
Yeah, so it's been like it's been difficult for them to put together the entire outfield.
For a while, it was fucking Chipper Jones.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And it seems like there's just so many. I know when you get down to it, executing on some of this stuff, it's not a one direction kind of situation. You got to get other teams to agree to do things and the player that's involved.
For sure.
But fuck, man, it seems like there's got to be something better than Marcelo Ozuna and Eddie Rosario and a cast of misfits in left field when you're saving this much money by having all these other guys signed to long-term deals.
Yeah, and I think I saw someone say on Twitter, and I agree with this. I think he writes maybe for the Braves, SB Nation, so I'm not positive. But I agree with this is taking a flyer on a Robbie Grossman type this year is not going to fucking cut it.
No, they need to make a big move at the trade deadline, and we'll see. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people available, and there's a lot of pretty good teams that are having bad years that have a lot of talent, and there's also some pretty shitty teams that are overperforming right now that will definitely slide before August comes around. As a matter of fact, the Indians are already starting to slide. They were, I think, second place for the majority of the season up until recently, but now they're fucking on. They're tanking.
I imagine now, granted, as far as trades go, we kind of have a bit of a barren farm system at this point. So it's tough.
We've got Jared Schuster and Braden Shumake. Those are two very close to major league ready players.
Yeah. Well, and Vaughn, I suppose.
Vaughn Grissom. There's another guy that I mentioned a while back who's a pitcher. I think he might be hurt right now, though, so I don't know if we're going to see him anytime soon, even in a trade. But Darius Vines is pretty much major league ready right now as well, but I think he's banged up right now. There's stuff down there. I mean, I don't know what the plan is. We have so many young guys locked into long-term deals. I'm not sure how much you should be fucking nursing the minor leagues at this point.
Do we try to, you know, a team I'd love to fucking pillage is the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice.
Maybe Eloy Jimenez or some shit like that. I don't, I mean, I'm just literally just throwing out names. Who the fuck knows? But yeah, I just leave no doubt, right? And look, maybe you can get by in left field with Hilliard and Pilar, but just commit to the dudes that are working, because fucking Eddie's not. And obviously, Marcel, you can patch the DH up with, you know, Darnot and
Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. It's so if you this year at the trade deadline, just they got to leave no fucking doubt. Right. It's got to be. Go get one or two fucking nightmare relievers, and if you want to concentrate more on the bullpen, for sure. I don't think they need a starting pitcher.
There's plenty of that.
Yeah, that would be kind of a waste of time. Bullpen and left field.
I would really like for them to go out and trade for Brian Reynolds and give up whatever they need to farm system wise to get him, because the Pirates already did our job for us and signed him to a long term deal that's team friendly.
Yeah.
And he's a consistent year in and year out fucking ball player. He's not going to hit like 40 home runs probably, but he's going to hit you 25, 30, and he's going to score, you know, 90 plus runs every season. So that's the kind of guy that I want out there. Somewhat like, get a legit dude. This is a fucking Major League Baseball team that's competing every single year. You know what I mean? Like, despite their struggles this year, you look up and down the Astros lineup. And they have the guys in these positions that they want there for the most part. There's a couple of people they've had to fill in, like this Yolks kid he's actually from Texas, because Chaz McCormick has not been great. But you look up and down the depth chart for the Houston Astros, they've got a top dude that they want in every single one of those positions. You know what I mean? And that's the way you operate a fucking ball club that's trying to win championships.
I mean, I would say we do as well, with the exception
of left field.
Left field.
Yeah.
With the exception of left field. But I mean, there's no other position where we're like, we got to do it. He's just filling it.
Yeah, but we've got plenty of, if you want to call it cap space, whatever baseball would call it, there's plenty of options for us to improve on that one position that they're just not taking for some reason. I don't know why.
Even if it literally is just playing Pilar and Hilliard more, because it's just Eddie, it's not working.
No,
I don't know. But yeah, that's all I got for today. Just getting a little FOMO. I've been checking the WAR leaderboards, just because it's funny to see Acuna and Murphy so high up there. Mm-hmm. But checking it today, I was like, of course.
Well, who are the top pitchers up there? I wonder where Elder is in that list.
Probably not high, because he's not really, you know, they like strikeouts.
Okay, well, so if every single game he pitches, he gives up one run in seven innings, I feel like maybe that stat's broken. if it's not giving him credit.
I agree. I totally agree with that. They really undervalue ERA.
Yeah.
He's 24th. He's got 1.4. Strider is 6th with 2.1.
Oh, well, of course. He's going to have 300-plus strikeouts this year.
Yeah.
And maybe every year after that as well. So the record, by the way, for career 300 strikeout seasons is 6 by Nolan Ryan. I think Randy Johnson's got 4 of them. I think Strider might rattle off 5 or 6 in a row, unless he gets hurt or something.
Stays healthy, yeah. Well, again, we talk about between the way these dudes hit now, where there's just way. I mean, Nolan Ryan would have 10 fucking.
Oh, he would every single year that he didn't get hurt, he would have 300, because goddamn, dude, yeah. But people took it personally back then.
Exactly.
No, not anymore. Nobody cares.
Zach Gallen is first, by the way, and Soroka will square off with him on Sunday. So
looking forward to that game.
That'll be dope. Yeah, I think actually what buoys Bryce Elder a little bit. So they like strikeouts, but they also like limiting walks, and Elder's been pretty good about limiting walks. Mm-hmm. But they really don't like contact pitchers, I guess. And that's the type of thing where it's like, yeah, they're not. Sometimes it's not results oriented enough.
Doesn't that need to be? That's got to be something that you're thinking about if you're one of the data guys, about readjusting at this point, because nobody's throwing 120 pitches in games anymore. And if you're – I mean, this is the problem with Strider week in and week out. How long is it going to be able to last? Not that he – we know for a fact he's going to be effective, but for how long? Elder and Soroka's chance of being effective into the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings are way higher than Strider's, just because of pitch count.
Yep.
Nothing more. So I don't know. We'll see how it develops. I'll ask Ryan Spader about it. He likes these numbers.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Yep.
See you fuckers later.
See you in hell.